vritti? Removal. Very good. Cessation. So, we discussed about that yesterday. Four. What are those anarthas? What are those four kinds of anarthas? What is the first one?
Matters of the cause of simplicity.
Okay. Second one? Second one is due to pious activity. Third one? Due to offenses. And the fourth one? Due to devotion. So there are four kinds of anarthas. And these four kinds of anarthas can be removed or seized, can be destroyed by five different means. Or there are five different stages of anartha nivritti, one can say. The first stage of anartha nivritti is called ekadesha vritti. Ekadesha means, eka means, let's see, very good. Desha means, location. Vartini, let's see, who is a master of Sanskrit? Vartini, ekadesha vartini. Situation, very good. So ekadesha vartini means situated in one location. Like, it's a partial, which actually means a partial anartha nivritti. Just, you know, somewhat anartha nivritti, to some extent. And that is when one becomes free from anarthas due to offenses. We know there are different types of offenses, anarthas, there are different types of offenses. And when one stops those offenses, then the anarthas are automatically removed. So, that is called ekadesha vartini. Is that clear? Actually, when one takes care of offenses, then the major part of it, anarthas are taken care of. Because what is the greatest of anartha? The greatest anartha is caused by nāmapara. So if we can become free from nāmapara, then what happens? Freedom from nāmapara means what?
Freedom
from nāmapara means nāmabhāṣa state. Well, when one has become free from nāmaparād, he automatically becomes situated in the non-abhāṣa stage. And nāmaparād stage means liberated stage. Actually, when one is situated in nāmaparād, he is situated in a liberated stage. That means he is free from material attachment. But then, as he gradually develops love for Krishna, as he chants pure name, he develops his love. Then, next one is bohu desha vartini. Bohu means? Ramprakash, Ramprasad. You raise your hand. Bohu means what? Radha? Raghunath? Many. Desha? Location. Vartini, situation. The anartha nivritti, which covers a greater area. Not just one location, but a greater area. What is that stage like? That stage is when one becomes fixed up in nishtha. Anasana, that means anasana nivritti. Nishtha comes from what? Anasana nivritti. But still some anasana remains. So, at that stage of nishtha, at a mature stage of bhajana kriya, then that anasana nivritti is called bohudeshavarti. Ekodeshavartini is due to offenses, when one becomes free from offenses and develops attachment to the holy name, develops attachment to the Supreme, you know, becomes fixed up in devotional service, then that stage of anasana nivritti is called bohudeshavartini. Then the third stage is prayiki, when one develops spontaneous attachment to the Supreme Personality of God. So, after bhajana kriya is what? Anartha nivritti, right? Then anartha nivritti, after what is anartha nivritti? What is after anartha nivritti? Nishtha. So, that nishtha stage is actually bahu desha gottini anartha nivritti. Then after nishtha comes, after nishtha comes ruchi. Ruchi is actually asakti. Asakti and ruchi is the same thing. When one develops that ruchi or asakti, the attachment, spontaneous attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it is called prayiki. Almost he made it. Right. And then after prayiki, the fourth stage is called purna, means complete. And what is the completed stage of anasana nivritti? When one develops prema. When one develops love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it is purna anasana nivritti. And then atyantik. Now atyantik means complete, absolute. And when does that authentic anasana nivritti take place? When one attains the lotus feet of the Lord. When one attains the lotus feet of the Lord, then it is authentic, complete and absolute anasana nivritti. Actually it is said that from the stage of prema, one doesn't fall down. But beyond prema, when one develops when one attains the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God, that means when one is transported to the spiritual sky, then that is the astanti. So in this way, there are five different stages of anasana nivritti. Now one important thing to remember here is that this anasana nivritti is actually a very complete, very in-depth anasana nivritti. Not just apparent anasana nivritti. Actually, apparent anasana nivritti has been defined as what? Ekodeshavartini. When one becomes free from offenses, that is the stage of apparent anasana nivritti. But still it goes on. The anasana nivritti is a continuous process. The anarthas remain till we develop our loving relationship with Krishna and go back to the spiritual. That we are not able to go back to the spiritual sky, that we are not in the spiritual sky today, is due to all that thing. And until and unless we go back to the spiritual sky, our anasana nivritti will not be absolutely accomplished. Although it may be purna, like when one develops love for Krishna, then it is purna anasana nivritti. But even beyond purna is atyantik. Atyantik means absolute. Like anarthas are absolutely eradicated. So that is, these are the five different stages of anartha nature. So everyone will remember. Maybe Balaram can enter this in the confusion. And whoever wants can get a copy from Balaram. If Balaram can be contacted, later. Huh? After the class. How was that? You want to? Should I go through? Quickly. Okay. The first one is Ekadesha Vartini. Second one is Bahudesha Vartini. Third one is Traiki. Fourth one is Purna. And fifth one is Asantika. Got it? Now can you define them? Go ahead. When the anartha nivritti is just, you know, limited. We can say when the anartha nivritti is just localized. When does one attain that anusmriti? Localized, ekadesha vartini. When does that happen? Okay. Second one? Bahudesha vartini. Not when one is situated. When the anusmriti is broad. It's a broader, you know, like wider range of anartha nivritti. I was just describing the literal meaning of that, but that's not what it actually means. The literal meaning is the word to word, word for word meaning. The actual meaning is like when it's broader anartha nivritti. Third. Oh, when does that happen? When one attains nishtha. Third? Ruchi, not love, spontaneous attachment. A taste. When does that happen? And fifth, asantiti. When one attends lotus feet, very good. Everyone got it? Any other question? Harida? What's the difference between four? Complete and absolute. The complete is not absolute. Like one develops love for the Lord, but still he hasn't been transported to the spiritual realm. Right? How come? Well, he develops his love, but you see, one receives the love for the Lord by the mercy of the Lord. Similarly, one goes back to the God spiritual sky also by the mercy of the Lord. So this depends upon Krishna himself. We cannot get crashed in the spiritual sky. Now one may develop fame, but one may still be in this material nature. Right? But then when he goes back, actually the prema law is the basic qualification to go back to the spiritual sky. So when one goes back to the spiritual sky, naturally he has prema. Without prema one cannot go back. But going back to the spiritual sky is a stage higher than nothing. But of course devotees don't really want to go back to the sky. Devotees are happy just serving him. They don't even want these, you know, prema or bhava. They just wait for the mercy of God. Ruchi, actually, nishtha, ruchi, bhava, prem, these are beyond a living entity's capacity. It is simply due to the mercy of the Lord. Do you have a question for that? Any other question? From a simple activity in a strength of the world. What's that? Yeah. Vaishnava opera is included in Nama opera. The first opera is actually, first Nama opera is Vaishnava opera. So it's already included. You see, the bhakti has different. Okay, basically the bhakti is of two types: sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti again has the two types, two sections. One is Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. So, Vaidhi Bhakti is following rules and regulations, right? And then Raganuga Bhakti is spontaneous. So, up to Nishtha, it is Vaidhi Bhakti. Vajanakriya, Anishtha, Nishtha. It is Raganuga Bhakti. But beyond that, like Ashokti Ruchi Bhav, that is Raga Nirodha. And then Prema. Actually, Ragatmika Bhakti is Prema. Raga Nuga Bhakti means Rag Anuga. Anuga means following. Following the Rag, the spontaneous love. The devotion that is performed following the spontaneous love for the Lord. And that also under the direction of an associate of Krishna in the mind. So that, and actually these are very elevated stages, and Prabhupada didn't want us to discuss these. That means Prabhupada made us realize that we are not qualified. Actually, no one is qualified. But by the mercy of a pure devotee, when one receives the mercy of a pure devotee, then he develops it. So understanding is, by dint of our effort, we cannot become Radha Mudra. It is a mercy case. So we just follow Vaidivasa. And by following Vaidivasa someday, we may attain Radhika. Because in spiritual life, we do not have to aspire for higher practice. Actually, the spiritual practice is to aspire for lower practice. Actually, in the spiritual platform, we are not saying that I want to be a great devotee. Right? On the other hand, the mood of a devotee is that I want to be more humble than the Buddha the God. And more he advances, more he comes close to that stage of becoming as humble than the Buddha, as the Buddha. So that is the thing, like that's the difference between material and spiritual. You see, material endeavors are meant for higher and higher position. Right? A person of bigger he becomes, greater position he gets in a material platform. But spiritual platform is diametrically opposed to that. In a spiritual platform one wants to become lower and lower and lower. And servant of the servant of the servant. The Kanishka Adhikari thinks that Krishna is the Lord and He is the servant. Right? He doesn't recognize Krishna's devotee. He just sees that he believes in Krishna. He accepts Krishna as God. He accepts Krishna as Lord and Master, as his Lord and Master. But he thinks that he is the only servant, only devotee. But then when he becomes a Madhyama Adhikari type devotee, then what happens? He begins to recognize Krishna's devotee, you know, Shanta Bhakti. He begins to recognize other devotees. And then he tries to become their servant. First he wanted to become Krishna's servant. Now in Madhya Madhika platform, he wants to become Krishna's devotee's servant. And then in Uttama Madhikari platform, he wants to become everybody's servant. So this is the progress of spiritual path. Becomes perfect in Vaidhi Bhakti, then he goes to Vaidhi. The perfection of Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha, because Vaikuntha mood is Vaidhi, Vidhi, rules and regulations. Right? But Vrindavan mood is different. What is Vrindavan mood? Spontaneous love. Therefore, in Vrindavan, there is no, to go to Vrindavan, one has to develop this Radha Mudra. Anyway, as I said, that's a very elevated platform, so we do not delve into that. Yes, sir. The same. You see, one doesn't attain prema by sadhana. One doesn't attain prema by sadhana. You see, by sadhana, one cannot attain, and one cannot receive prema. Actually, prema is attained only by Krishna's mercy, Radharani's mercy. By dint of our endeavor, we cannot develop prema. Once Krishna was Babaji Maharaj, Prabhupada Babaji, I was asking him, And he actually made a very good point. He says the purpose of sadhana is to realize ultimately that by sadhana you cannot get Krishna. But we have to go through that stage to realize that by sadhana we cannot get Krishna. Not by not practicing sadhana, but going through sadhana all the way. Finally we realize that we cannot get Krishna by sadhana. Krishna can be we can get Krishna only by the causeless mercy of the universe. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tomaro shatatiya. Ami to kangal, Krishna Krishna boli, dhai tabo kachi. So the only way to get Krishna is the mercy of the universe. Tomaro hridaye sada govindo vishram, govindo kahay mo vaishnava param. That process, it becomes even more clear through that process. The process is adu shuddha, tato sadhu sangha, tato bhajana kriya, and also anasthanibhriti. Anasthanibhriti shat, nishtha, ruchi. See, up to bhajana, actually bhajana kriya, what is bhajana kriya? To render devotional service under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. So here, if you surrender unto the bona fide spiritual master and render his service unto under his direction, is bhajana kriya. Yeah? And as a result of that, our anarthas are removed. And then we become fixed up, nishtha. Now, you see, our nishtha is not developing because we are using our will. Nishtha is not developing due to our will. You know, will means desire or the determination to do something. But nishtha is developing out of anartha nibriti. When anarthas are removed, nishtha will automatically develop. Right? So up to, in that sense, up to anartha nibriti sadhana, right? The nishtha ruchi is more of a nishtha is on a borderline between sadhana, vaidhi bhakti and raga bhakti. But then, after that, you see, when you develop the ruchi, it's no more sadhana there. Is there any sadhana there in ruchi? It is what is spontaneous, right? Although it is considered, it falls in sadhana bhakti because it's not up to the frame stage as yet. That's why it is sadhana bhakti. But then ruchi, after ruchi comes bhava. Emotion, spiritual emotion for Krishna. Where is the sadhana here? In bhava bhakti, there is hardly any sadhana. It's all spontaneous. It's a natural development. This is so, what we have to, devotion is there in the heart. But the thing is, what we have to do is, we have to remove the detrimental influences in the heart. And that is the anarthanibriti. When you remove those detrimental influences, then it will automatically develop. But behind everything, there is Krishna's hand. That's what we have to understand. Now whatever is happening in our spiritual life is simply due to the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of the spiritual master. Krishna and Krishna's devotee. So, therefore, you see, you then cannot develop prema through sadhana. Prema is developed, ultimately the prema is developed by the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. which Vishwanatha Chakravarti in the very beginning of this book, Madhurya Kadambini, made clear. That it's only, you know, it's only due to the mercy that one develops devotion. And devotion means pain, loving devotion. No, Bodhi Bhakti stays up to Anakinibhati. Bodhi Bhakti. But Sadhan Bhakti has another stage called Raga Nuga Bhakti. Raga Anuga, there is a sadhana there. You understand? Raga Nuga, Raga Bhakti also has two phases. One is Raga Anuga, following Raga. And the other is Raga Atmika. It is, Raga Atmika is actually Prema Bhakti. Prema Bhakti Jaha Vaite, Avidya Vinasha Jaha. So, this also confirms that it's the mercy of the spiritual master, devotee. So, the sadhana bhakti is nishtha, up to nishtha, and then onwards it's raga nuga, and then finally pain. Huh? Yes, these are different stages of development. Adoshuddha. Beginning with Shraddha. And what is Shraddha? Shraddha is Shraddha Shabde Vishras Kohe, Shudriya Nishchay, Krishna Bhakti Kohele Sharva Kohe. When we do that, then it is Raga Nuga. But then again, the question is, you know, now who is the person in Vrindavan? Are you going to select Vrindavan? No. The spiritual master himself is the person from Vrindavan. And the devotee sees the spiritual master as the inhabitant, as the resident of Vrindavan. You see, we cannot whimsically think that, well, from now on I am going to follow Lalita Devi. Right? And then we get the book and we read about Lalita Devi, she looks like this, her sari is like this, and this is her service, and you know, like we try to meditate on that. That is simply called monkey business. Monkey jumps. So it is jumping over. So our line is to just be surrendered unto the spiritual. Actually, once somebody asked Prabhupada, what is my Siddha Sarup? And Prabhupada said, you ask him, you're Sarup. And Prabhupada just keeps on chastising him for a while. And then finally Prabhupada told him, don't worry about your service. Just keep on rendering service. And when the time comes, I will come personally and reveal your sadhguru, reveal your spiritual identity. So, you know, we simply have to just carry on, you know, rendering service in the direction of Srila Prabhupada, and in due course of time, he will reveal it. You see, Guru is an inhabitant of Vrindavan. Right? Guru is seen at a perfected stage as an inhabitant, as a resident of Vrindavan, of the spiritual Vrindavan. And the understanding is that it is His causeless mercy that He has become manifest in front of our eyes. That's why He may seem to be, He's not from Vrindavan, but He's from America, China, or Philippines. No, in our line, it's unlikely. Our line is going to Vrindavan. Those who are in ISKCON and those who are loyal devotees, loyal followers of Srila Prabhupada, their ultimate goal is Vrindavan. Even if they go to Ajodhya, they won't feel satisfied. Because in Ajodhya you won't get Sankirtan. You see, in Ajodhya, you won't get what we are used to doing. What we are used to doing, chanting, preaching, and eating prasad. So that, of course, there is plenty of prasad in Ajodhya. But this mood will not be there. And therefore, devotee will not be satisfied going to Ajodhya. They will wonder, where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Where is Krishna? And in Ajodhya, Krishna can, actually Ramchandra can become like Krishna. But still devotee won't be satisfied. You know why? Because Ajodhya Krishna will not embrace the devotee. But the devotee in Vrindavan mood, all he wants is to embrace Krishna and be embraced by Krishna. And that is possible, that reciprocation is possible only in Vrindavan. Therefore, what to speak of even Ajodhya, even in Dwarka, devotee will not be satisfied. Like this devotee from our line will not be satisfied. He simply wants Brajendranandan Krishna, and he wants to reciprocate with Krishna in Vrindavan and him only. Like Aradhu Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanai. The supreme worshipable Lord is son of Nanda Maharaj. Tadhama Vrindavanam, and his abode is Vrindavan. Ramma Kachi Dukashana Vrajavodhu Vargena Jakulti. And the highest form of worship is the worship the way the gopis perform. Vrajavodhu Vargena Jakulti. So this is our Krishna, not Brajananda, not Devakinandan or Vasudev Krishna, but Brajananda Krishna, very specific. Son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, right? And Saddhama Vrindavan, his abode is Vrindavan, specifically. So that is our mood, our life. As we become more and more acquainted with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then we won't be satisfied anywhere else. That's the difference. Different mood altogether. You see, in our line, we don't worship Krishna in Vatsalya, in parental life. That's why in our line, we don't worship Bal Gopal. Those who worship Bal Gopal, and sometimes in some temples, there are Bal Gopal deities. They are actually Rasabhara. They haven't understood our. In our line, Krishna is worshipped in Madhurya, that is conjugal marriage. So that Krishna is not Bal Gopal. That Krishna is Navakishore Gopal. And Navakishore means youthful, budding youth. Gopal youth is budding youth who performs his pastimes with the residents, with the gopis of Vrindavan. That is our worship of Vrindavan. Radha Krishna Gopal. Radha Krishna. Do you think Radharani will worship Bal Gopal? And do you think Bal Gopal can keep her, maintain his form as Bal Gopal in front of Radharani? When he comes in front of Radharani, even though he may be Bal Gopal, he will take up his eternal form of 16-year-old boy. And then take him to Radharani. He can't keep this form. In front of Radharani. Just like once Krishna took off the four-armed form in Vrindavan, when the gopis were looking for him, he wanted to make some fun with the gopis. So he stood there, which is 4 arms long. And the gopis saw him and thought that he was Narayan. They couldn't care less about Narayan. So they offered obeisances, prayed that please bless us that we can find Krishna. But when Radharani came, could Krishna maintain his 4 arms form? No. As soon as he saw Radharani, his 2 arms disappeared. 2 out of his 4 arms disappeared, and he became Shyamsundar in front of Muralidhara. So Krishna can't hide his identity from Radharani. So his swarup, other roots are not actually Nitya Swarup, the Bal Gopal form, etc. But his eternal form is his form as a Kishore, Nava Kishore. And in front of Radharani, he always maintains that. Okay, so you have to speak a little loud. Maybe somebody with a louder voice can relay it. When one comes to in one's anatsal, get rid of them. See, there is a proper method of getting rid of anatta. This, as it has been described in scripture, the way to get rid of anatta is right, bhajanatriya. You keep rendering service. It's not that you from your anatta by dint of your own endeavor. Like you can't just deal directly, it doesn't work. Like regarding that, I can give an example. Sometimes in India, you know, places where there's a lot of water.
Like especially next to a well or next to a water pump. But there's a way of doing it. They put some bleaching powder, some acid, just sprinkle some acid. And the acid actually cleans up the whole place. Right? So, our way is to get rid of the anatta by applying some acid. Right? And the acid is bhajanatriya. You render devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, and anatta will automatically be taken care of. What is? Ragatmika. Ragatmika means, you see, Atmika means the life and soul.
Atmikam is so, the devotion where raag, spontaneous love, is the soul of devotion. Rendering devotional service just for the sake of our spontaneous love for Krishna. The other is raag anuga, following raag. But this one is raag in itself.
Topic when I was here in Mayapur. Then when I went to Vrindavan, in the evening I was giving classes on Krishna's pastimes from Prabhupada's Krishna book. So I'm starting it again. So maybe we can just review the things that we covered before, just briefly. And you all can take notes, and I will edit this synopsis of the book Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I'll get them printed and give them to you before you leave. So, Shraddha to Prema, actually devotional service or Krishna Bhakti begins with Shraddha. That is called Adau Shraddha. In the beginning, there is Shraddha. Krishna consciousness begins with Shraddha. And Shraddha means faith. Adau Shraddha, Tato Sadhu Sangha. When one develops faith in Krishna consciousness, then he associates with the devotees. That stage is called Sadhu Sangha. Then comes Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means rendering devotional service, and then comes the fourth stage of Anartha Nivritti. When one becomes involved in devotional service, then he becomes free from anarthas. Anarthas means eradication of material contamination, Anartha Nivritti. Anartha means material contamination, and Nivritti means eradication. Then when the material impediments or material contaminations are eradicated, then one becomes fixed up in Krishna consciousness. That stage is called Nishtha, or steadiness or earnestness. Then comes the stage of Ruchi. Ruchi means taste. Then comes Ashakti, the seventh stage of development. Ashakti means attachment. Then comes Bhava, means intense emotion for Krishna, intense spiritual emotion. Then the final stage of Prema. Therefore, the course of gradual elevation in spiritual path has been defined as from Shraddha to Prema. So what are those nine stages? Adau Shraddha, Tato Sadhu Sangha, Atha Bhajana Kriya, Atha Anartha Nivritti, Shat, Nishtha, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhava, and Prema. The devotional creeper Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in Madhurya Kadambini, that the devotional creeper sprouts with two leaves. Just as when a seed becomes a seedling, the seedling has how many leaves? Just two leaves in the beginning. So those two leaves of devotional creeper are known as Balaram? No. Kleshagni and Shubhada. Kleshagni means, Klesha means misery, and Gna means to destroy. So all the material miseries are
disappearance of suffering, distresses are eradicated. Then Shubhada. Shubha means auspiciousness, and Da means the giver, the attainment of auspiciousness. So as soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, immediately he feels two things. In one hand he feels that all his sufferings are eradicated. All the sufferings disappear, and Shubhada, he receives all auspiciousness. In one hand the sufferings are removed, and at the same time all auspiciousness is achieved. Klesha or suffering is of five types. And there are five types of suffering. Who remembers these five types of suffering? Does anybody remember? Five types of sufferings have been described as avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Ashmita means false ego. Dvesha is hatred. Abhinivesh is attachment or absorption to material things. And the stages of development of sin. Then Shubha or auspiciousness has, twelve stages. I'll just quickly go through them. Vishaya Vitrishna, Shubha, I mentioned the Klesha Agni, all the Kleshas disappear and all auspiciousness appear. The appearance of auspiciousness takes place in the following way. The Vishaya Vitrishna. One becomes detached to material enjoyment. Then, Bhagavat Unmukhata. One becomes attached to Krishna. Then, Anupinda. Favorable attitude to devotional service. Kripa, mercy. Kshama, forgiveness. Shatata, truthfulness. Sharalata, simplicity. Samata, equanimity, fortitude, gravity, respect, humility, and being pleased to all. So these are the natural developments, these qualities naturally developed in a devotee, which has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam as Jashastu Bhaktir Bhagavat Takin Chana Sarvai Gunai Satra Samashate Shura. That is, Sarvai Gunai Satra Samashate Shura. All the divine qualities become manifested in a devotee. As soon as one becomes fixed up in devotional service, all these divine qualities disappear in him. He becomes detached from material sense gratification, one becomes attached to Krishna, then he becomes truthful, he becomes simple, he becomes merciful, he becomes compassionate, he becomes determined, he becomes humble, and he becomes respectful towards everybody, he becomes grave, and he becomes pleased to all. Then bhajana kriya, then after that comes the stage of bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya has two stages. What are those two stages of bhajana kriya? That is, one is called nishthita, the first two is anishthita and nishthita. Anishthita. Nishtha means what? Steady. And anishthita means, all means not. So not steady. The first stage of devotional service of bhajana kriya is unsteady devotional service. And when one transcends this unsteady stage, then he becomes steady. Then that steady stage is called nishtha or nishthita bhakti. Bhajana, after bhajana kriya comes nishtha, like bhakti bhavati nishthi. Nishtha. So unsteady development, unsteady devotional service is of six types. There are six types of unsteady devotional service. The first one is called utshapamoyi, or false enthusiasm. Then ghana tarala, sporadic endeavor. Then buddha vikalpa, indecision. Then Vishaya Sangara, combat with Maya, Niyamakshama, inability to uphold vows, and then Taranga Rangini, enjoying the waves of material fertility. Like these points we discussed when we were here previously, quite elaborately. Now let me see how many of you can remember those stages. Utshavamayi. Who knows the meaning of utshahamayi and who knows the definition of utshahamayi? Utshahamayi. Who all were here? Balaram was here. Can you tell me what is utshahamayi? No. That is called that's a different chapter altogether. Utshahamayi means enthusiasm. When one begins his devotional service, in the beginning he is very enthusiastic. Can one give a definition of how Vishwanath Chakravarti described that? Very good. When a child gets a new book, he becomes very enthusiastic. But that enthusiasm is false enthusiasm. It's not actually steady enthusiasm or enthusiasm founded on determination. So that enthusiasm, actually the child's attraction to the book is not for the book as such, or the knowledge that is in the book, not on the substance of the book, but on the superficial aspect of the book. It's the novelty of the book, the pictures of the book, and also his pride that he wants to show everybody how learned he is. He sits there with the book pretending as if he has become a big scholar. So in the beginning, devotees also feel like that. Devotees feel as if they have become pure devotees, they have attained the perfection of devotional service in the beginning. Therefore often devotees ask, when I joined, I was so enthusiastic, I was so fixed up, but now instead of becoming, it seems that instead of advancing, I am actually regressing. The answer to that is this. Because they were on the utshahamayi stage. They were attracted to devotional service not because of their unalloyed love for Krishna, but because of some other factors. The novelty of devotional service. Mainly due to the novelty of devotional service. It's a new world, it's a new life. So they became excited about it, just as a little child becomes excited with a new book or a new toy. Then comes ghana tarala. The utshaha reduces. Enthusiasm reduces. Now he does not feel that enthusiasm all the time. Sometimes he is enthusiastic and sometimes he is down. Sometimes he is not so enthusiastic. Ghana means dense, thick, condensed. And tarala means dilute. Sometimes the devotion is condensed, sometimes the devotion is diluted. Then comes buddha vikalpa. Buddha vikalpa means indecision. He can't figure out what to do, what not to do. He thinks that, well, actually, I should leave home, go to Vrindavan, and I should actually become very fixed up. But because of my responsibilities, household responsibilities, I cannot become fixed up. So I will just leave home. After all, this is Maya. This household is Grihamandakutam, a deep dark well. So I should, you know, I should give up everything and go to Vrindavan and become a Babaji. But then he thinks, but if I do not succeed, if I still have material attachments, and if I take sannyas, sannyas immaturely, then it will be very bad. And after all, so many devotees were fixed up in Krishna consciousness in spite of being householders. So many of associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were householders. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also was a householder. So maybe I should stay in my household and practice devotional service. So this way there's an indecision in his mind. He can't decide what he should do. That's called Buddha Vikalpa. Then Vishaya Sangara, fight with Maya. Some Maya is trying to pull him and he says, no, I should not do that. So in that combat with Maya, in that struggle with Maya, sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. He feels that, no, I should not indulge in this sense gratification. I should become fixed up. But then he becomes defeated by Maya. But sometimes he wins also. Then niyamakshama, and the inability to uphold vows. He feels that from now on, every day I'll get up at 2 o'clock, I'll finish all 16 rounds before Mangal Arati. I will chant, every day I'll chant at least 64 rounds. I'll eat only once a day. But at the end of the day, he can't keep his vow. So that is called niyam akshama. Niyam means vow, and akshama means inability. Niyam akshama. Then tarangarangin, the enjoying the waves of material facility. Right. As a devotee, one gets some recognition. Although a devotee doesn't want name and fame or material facilities, but they come. But when one begins to ride in the waves of material facilities, that's called taranga rangini. So these are the 6 unsteady devotional services. And then when one transcends these 6 stages, he becomes fixed up in nishchita bhakti, or fixed up devotional service. Yeah, sure.
So, describing these things and they sound very familiar. But I think you need to move how to have all these stages.
Yeah. His basic instruction is by following the practice, by practicing the process of devotional service, one will pass through the stages. Like for example, say the stage of that anishtita bhakti, what we discussed just now. But it's not that just as soon as one becomes a devotee, he will become fixed up on devotional platform in nishtita bhakti and we can't expect that as soon as one joins the movement, one becomes a pure devotee. But if he follows the process sincerely, and although he will go through different stages, but because devotional service is so all-purifying, that he will pass through those stages. And one point about this last point, the taranga rangini, that, you know, enjoying the material facilities, that has been described as that one will go through this phase of material facilities, but because his attachment is to the lotus feet of Krishna, even though for a time being he may be attracted to those material facilities, he may enjoy those material facilities, but very soon he'll lose taste for them, those things. Like you know, I mean, after all, material enjoyment doesn't actually give us the taste that we are hankering for. So even though one may indulge in those facilities, of course, you know, very strictly one should not break the regulative principle, but he will overcome them very easily.
So he's laying out the path
right.
For us to recognize what's happening through that, and we should recognize and then keep
sticking. Exactly, yeah. He's giving us a direction, like what's coming. Like, and when it comes, you know, one is prepared.
Don't be
disturbed. Yeah. Or, you know, like becoming aware of your enemy. Like the enemy is going to attack, so, you know, be aware of it. So when the enemy attacks, you are prepared to withstand the onslaught and overcome the enemies ultimately. And it's actually, it's very scientific, the way he did it, you know, like very, very scientific. I was thinking maybe, you see, I'm planning to stay on. I'll tell you later. Like, I may not leave right after Mayapur's meeting. Yeah, the Mayapur GBC meeting. So if I stay on, then I was thinking maybe I'll give a course on this in Bengali, to the Bengali body. Yeah, right. Hare Krishna. So pure devotional service is free from the desire for sense gratification. Do you Ganga Prabhupada you did, sir? Ashwamedha? Please sit on that. We want the Ganga Prabhupada. Pure devotional service is free from desire for sense gratification, free from the coverings of fruitive activities. Now, yeah, this is one next point. And free from the pure devotional service is free from the desire for sense gratification, free from the coverings of fruitive activities and speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, etc. So now he is actually describing that devotional service is of two kinds. One is impure and the other is pure. Or that impure devotional service is generally known as mixed devotional service. Mishra bhakti and Shuddha bhakti. Mishra means mixed. They're mixed with what? They're mixed with knowledge, mixed with material bhukti, mukti, siddhi. When devotional service is mixed with these three aspects, bhukti means desire for material enjoyment, mukti means liberation, and siddhi means attainment of mystic power. So then it is called mishra bhakti, or impure devotional service. So otherwise, when they are free, jnana karmad anabritam, as it has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. No, Rupa Goswami described in Bhakti Rasamrita Simha. The definition of pure devotional service is annabhilashita sunnam jnana karmad anabritam anukullena krishnanushilanam bhakti ruttam. Annabhilashita sunnam, free from all other desire. Jnana karmad anabritam, free from the covering of knowledge and fruitive activities. Jnana karmad. And anukullasya krishnanushilanam bhakti uttama. When one simply accepts whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness and rejects whatever is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness, that is called pure devotional service. There is another definition of pure devotional service that has been given in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is thane sitva shruti gatam tanubang manodhi. Being situated wherever one is situated, if one simply renders service to Krishna for his pleasure with his body, mind and words, Tonu, bang, mono. Tonu means body, bang means words, and mono means mind. Then that is called pure devotional service. So pure devotional service is of three kinds. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is devotional service in practice. Bhava bhakti is devotional service out of spontaneous sentiment. Out of spontaneous sentiment, that's called bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti, out of unalloyed love for Krishna, or pure love for Krishna. Devotional service out of pure love for Krishna. So these are the three stages of pure devotional service. What are the three stages, Krishna Kirtan? Very good. Now what is the definition of bhava bhakti, Akinshana? Spontaneous. Out of spontaneous? Sentiment. And what is the definition of prema bhakti? Haridas? Love. Out of pure love for Krishna. Prema means love. So, then sadhana bhakti also again has two stages. Sadhana, what are the two stages of sadhana bhakti, Balaram?
Vaidhi and Brahma.
Very good. What's the definition of Vaidhi bhakti?
Devotional service according to the instruction of the spiritual master without any complaints.
Vaidhi bhakti, devotion service in practice. And Raganuga bhakti, what's the definition of Raganuga bhakti?
Devotion service according to the instruction of the spiritual
master. Very good. Very good. He did a course recently on Nectar of Devotion. Very good. So sadhana bhakti has been divided into 64 angas, but mainly there are 9 divisions. What are the 9 divisions of sadhana bhakti? Who knows? Ram Prashad, do you know the 9 different angas of sadhana bhakti? You know. Navodha bhakti. Okay, Krishna Kinkar. Very good. Very good. Now, Shravana means?
Hearing.
Hearing about? Krishna. Kirtanam means chanting. And Smaranam means remembering. And Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Smaranam, Pada Sevanam. Pada Sevanam means rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Then, Archanam, Bandhanam, Sakham, Dasam, Atmanivedanam. Archanam means worshipping. Bandhanam means offering prayers. Then, Dasam means becoming a servant of the Lord. Sakham means becoming a friend of the Lord. And Atmanivedanam means offering oneself completely unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So, okay. I'll briefly go through this chapter also, because we covered this chapter last time when we were here. Now, in this chapter, anarthani vritti has been elaborately described. How many types of anarthas are there? We also briefly discussed it yesterday. How many types of anarthas are there? Four types. Okay, what are they? What are those four types of anarthas? Lucky Manjari? No, that's the last. Start from the beginning. Okay, you can tell, okay, you told one. Anatta is rising from devotional service. Who can tell the next one? Another one. Kandapumaji? Devotional service, yeah. Anatta is out of pious activities. Sinful activities or impious activities. And? Huh? Yes, very good. So these are the four types of anarthas. One is anarthas out of the anarthas due to sinful activities, anarthas due to pious activities, anarthas due to offenses, and anarthas due to devotional service. Now we can see actually there are two stages. One is the material and the other is spiritual. Now in the material platform, sin and piety, these are actually two material considerations. And offense and devotional service are spiritual considerations. Like offenses due to sinful activities, offenses due to pious activities, offenses due to, the anarthas due to offenses, and anarthas due to devotional service. Now this is actually the tricky point. How can there be anartha due to devotional service? So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely described that anarthas arising from devotional service refer to acquiring wealth, distinction, fame, etc. by rendering devotional service. When one wants to acquire name and fame or other such material distinction, adoration and profit out of devotional service, then that is the anarthas due to devotional service. So I'll just briefly go through these points. Anarthas arising from previous sinful activities fall in the category of five types of klesha previously mentioned. And there are five types of kleshas like abhidha, ashmita, etc. They are from sinful anarthas. They fall in the category of anarthas due to sinful activities. Then anarthas arising from previous pious activities are the attachment to the results of pious activities. When one is attached to the results of pious activities, the perfect example is karmakanda section. Like in the karmakanda section, lot of activities have been prescribed for material benefit. So there, if a devotee becomes involved in those activities, or in spite of being a devotee, if one is attached to those, that kind of result, that's anartha due to pious activities. They're anartha. What is the definition of anartha? We just mentioned a few minutes ago. Definition of anartha is desire for material enjoyment. Material attachment. Then anarthas arising from offenses refer to those arising from the nam aparadha and seva aparadha. Various offenses are actually, what are the main two offenses, categories of offenses? Nam aparadha and seva aparadha. There are other aparadhas also, like dham aparadha, etc. But actually they all fall in the category of nama-aparadha and seva-aparadha. Actually, if one becomes free from nama-aparadha, then he becomes free from all offenses, all offenses. So that is anarthas arising from offenses, and then anarthas arising from devotional service refer to distinction, adoration and profit, or acquiring wealth. Now we come back to the point that you mentioned, that how do we actually get rid of these impediments? So he is actually telling, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying, that four types of anarthas can be eradicated in five ways. The anarthas can be removed in five different ways. Though they are ekadesha vartini, that is limited to one anartha, then bahudesha vartani, pervasive or affecting many anarthas. When it is actually working on one type of anartha, then it is called ekadesha vartani, limited. And bahudesha vartani is pervasive. And when one when the anarthas are taken care of in a broader way, when our anartha nivritti is actually affecting many anarthas, then it is called bahudesha vartani. Then prayiki, that is general, then purna, that's complete, and attantiki, or absolute. These are the five different stages of anartha nivritti. They are ekadesha vartani, localized, or dealing with one, limited to one anartha, bahudesha vartani, dealing with many anarthas, then general, then complete, and then absolute. So this also has been described gradually, how the anarthas are taken care of. It's saying that with the performance of devotional activities or bhajana kriya, nullification of anartha nivritti is limited. That is, ekadesha vartini anartha nivritti takes place when one is engaged in bhajana kriya. Then bahudesha vartini anartha, that is anartha, many anarthas are taken care of when one becomes situated in nishtha. When one becomes fixed up in devotional service, then it is bahudesha vartini, or many anarthas are eradicated. Or then with the appearance of rati or bhava, the eradication is general. With the appearance of prema, the eradication is complete. With the attainment of the lotus feet of the Lord, the eradication is absolute. So these are the five ways of anartha nivritti. Now there are certain notes, I'll just read it and then I'll close. With the utterance of the holy name, all things are destroyed. But because the holy name, being unhappy with the offenses committed against him, does not manifest his complete power to the offender, this is indeed the reason why the sinful tendencies continue to exist. Though these tendencies continue to exist for some time, the servants of death have no power to attack such a person. Even though a person may not have been completely free from anarthas, still the servants of death, Yamadutas, cannot approach that person. So that's how powerful devotional service is. Like, one may not have become a pure devotee, one may not have become completely free from anarthas, but even at that stage, he is actually free from the clutches of death. When one renders sincere service to the devotees, scriptures and spiritual masters, then by the mercy of the holy name, the anarthas are gradually destroyed. After a long period of suffering, the effects of aparad, the intensity reduces to some extent, and the devotee develops a little taste. Then he again becomes qualified for bhakti. Repeated hearing and chanting of the Lord's name and performance of other devotional processes gradually reveal everything up to praying. So this is a very important point. Repeated hearing and chanting of the Lord's name and performance of other devotional processes gradually reveal everything up to the point of prema. So if one sincerely practices the process of devotional service, he will attain the stage of prema bhakti. Therefore, Prabhupada often used to say that if those who are in ISKCON sincerely following Prabhupada's instructions, although they may not be pure devotees today, but they will become pure devotees in due course of time. The sufferings of a devotee is not the effect of previous sinful activities, but the mercy of the Lord. So this is a very important point. Like, often people ask, why devotees suffer? Like, in one hand you are saying that devotional service is kleshabhi. Devotional service immediately frees one from suffering. But you are seeing that the devotees are suffering from disease, devotees are suffering from various material impediments. Now why is that? Now, Vishaya Chakravarti Thakur is very emphatically pointing out the suffering of a devotee is not due to his previous sinful activities, but it is due to the mercy of the Lord. By going through this suffering, devotee's heart actually becomes purified. Devotee becomes more fixed up. Devotee makes further advancement when he experiences this apparent suffering. And how does a devotee accept these sufferings? That also has been explained that if a devotee cuts his finger, he doesn't think, why did I cut my finger? But he feels, actually my whole hand should have been chopped off. Actually, if I was destined, it was destined that my hand would get chopped off. But by mercy of Krishna, just a little, my finger got cut. So in this way, devotee always sees that how whatever apparent suffering he is experiencing is nothing but Krishna's mercy. And he accepts everything as a reminder to become more and more fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Any question? Manjali? Well, the sufferings, you see, as long as you are in the material nature, the sufferings are always going to be there. But the question here is how a devotee accepts that suffering. At a neophyte stage, the devotee will cry, I became a devotee, why am I suffering? Right? But at an advanced stage, a devotee will see that it is actually Krishna's mercy that he is going through, or he has gone through whatever he has gone through. Yes, Kandav. How can one develop?
Now I have to say that we can go into our own instruction and body of the mind. But then actually, the application is that how to do this vision, how to have a few desires.
Yeah. As Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur pointed out here, is that if we sincerely follow the process, then gradually we'll attain that stage. Like, we'll go, like, you know, he systematically analyzed different stages of development. And, you know, we cannot really do anything about it. You know, the process of devotional service, the process of advancement, will take place gradually. There's no way we can actually force it, right? But we can be aware of it. Because you see, it's a matter of, you know, removing the dirt from our heart, from our hearts. Now, the dirt won't be cleaned overnight, right? Just as when a cloth becomes dirty, we wash the cloth. But you know, like, we have to go through the process of washing it. But it depends again how sincerely you are cleaning it. Like if we use a nice detergent and, you know, if we take the trouble, then, you know, like it will be clean. But if you don't work, if you just let it lie, if we let the cloth lie there, then the dirt will not be clean. So we have to practice the process of Krishna consciousness. And as sincerely, I mean, it depends according to our, according to degree of sincerity, how quickly will become purifying. The more sincere our endeavor is, quicker will be our purification. It's not mechanical, but you know, like, we have to become aware of it, and we have to constantly remind our mind. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, that one has to, we have to beat our mind with a broom 100 times every morning. And we have to beat the mind again with the shoes at night. So this way, more dushta mon tumi kisher vaishnav. So that we always have to be aware of. Okay, so thank you all very much. So tomorrow the class will be at 5 o'clock. And tomorrow we will do the next chapter, Nishtha. That's a new chapter, so we will deal that aspect tomorrow. Hare Krishna. So let's go to the Arctic. Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Present of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jiver Sharufai Krishna Nityadas.